Hello and good evening. Welcome back to a QS cast. Good to be back. I know we had a couple weeks there, Tark, where, you know, things were just going on. You know, I addressed it in Discord that, you know, we just kind of got a little bit busy there. I was kind of dealing with some stuff, but it's good to be back. I appreciate you folks joining us here in the Insider Discord, you know, listening to us live. But yeah, how's it going, Tark?
Good, man. I miss you, Chaz.
I miss you too,
like,
bud.
It's like too long of an absence.
I know. Yeah. yeah. I mean, we have the good thing is there's a lot to cover, at least for tonight. And we're going to also cast Thursday before the Pro Tour. You know, I'm going to be releasing a little blurb about QS coverage, like how we conduct our QS coverage here for Pro Tours. That'll be a free site article just so folks kind of know how we do here, you know, just so everyone's on the same page and everyone is receiving like our coverage via email and all that. So I think we mostly fixed the issue for the email stuff for the last time that we did it. So that's great. I know a lot of folks that were having email issues last time were not having that issue this time. So we curated the email list to its most current state. But yeah, that'll all be more addressed Thursday. Tonight, you know, it's long past due that we need to talk about Battle Bond. I think you and I have a kind of different opinions on the set, but ultimately, the whole set was revealed. You know, I was still and always am involved in Discord. We talked about it during this, you know, preview/spoiler season. So everyone is always getting that value there. And, you know, while, you know, Tark and I may not be casting for a week or so, we are committed to make up for that lost content, and we always try to be involved heavily in Discord still, even if we're not providing casts. So I really do appreciate folks reaching out when I, you know, kind of, you know, made, you know, my comment in QS Discord. So I really do appreciate that, and for sticking with us and continuing to find value in the different aspects of QS. So
yeah, and I just want to say a quick update, trade routes. So I know, trust me, I see all the messages, and everyone wants to know what's going on with trade routes. I can confidently tell you that we are just about done with trade routes, with the new updated trade routes, and it is awesome. I've been personally testing the new trade routes. It's really incredible. It's very, very powerful, and I have no doubt everyone's going to be really stoked about it. So, it is going to be coming soon. I've been playing with it. It's just about wrapped up. So, I can't give you guys a firm ETA, but I can tell you that it is basically done. They're just, you know, doing little tweaks and nudges here and there to make sure everything is just perfect. And obviously, it's not going to be perfect when it comes out. I wouldn't be surprised if a bug here or there, but that's the whole point of a first, you know, first launch and whatnot. But I can tell you it's significantly overhauled from what it used to be, and it's going to be open. So yeah, it's coming. It's just around.
Yeah, you know, I've beta tested a few things, and being loosely involved with this stuff, you know, internal testing is never going to replicate testing done by, you know, when it's released. So if you do find bugs, just use the appropriate channels. But yeah, it's very powerful. I think people will really be enjoying that.
Yep.
Finally, I mean, I think it's good that it's getting released. I think everyone's going to utilize it very well. It's going to be powerful, you know, and definitely going to be a really good feature for, you know, for insiders. So that all being said, and again, I appreciate everyone, you know, all the insiders, and just, you know, it's been great. And like I said, I always try to still be very heavily involved in Discord. So it's great when people reach out. It's great when people are still using that feature. It's still very lucrative. So it's all around awesome. So appreciate you guys, you folks a lot. But yeah, we need to talk about Battle Bond. Tark and I are, I would view this as you're not as all in as I am. that's probably where we differ.
I would say that's accurate.
You're probably at like just less than 100% because I'm all in, and that's okay if you're not. But I think we meet on the same, you know, same kind of thinking here and level for the most part, but you kind of have a couple little reservations, and I don't know why, but yeah, so the entire set was revealed. We were talking about this a lot during the spoilers in the Insider Discord, but I think, you know, for me personally, I think this is where their design philosophy should start. I might be going out on a limb here, but I don't even think I'm stretching the truth. I think Battle Bond is one of their best sets they've ever made. I'm just going to say it. I think, especially for a supplemental set, this is probably where they need to be going forward. I think if they never made a master set and they just had a set like Battle Bond every year, I'd be cool with that. Honestly, I think it's where, like, even looking back on other sets and definitely supplemental products. So certainly the best is a supplemental product. You know, in terms of best set, I've seen them make in a long time, if not one of the best ever. This is really what Magic sets should be aspiring to, and what, like, it just hits all the areas of every single, you know, Magic player. I mean, it's from the ground up built to be played in a multiplayer setting, but doesn't need to be. It's catered to a lot of different crowds in the Magic community. So, like Conspiracy before, where these cards are legal in Legacy and, you know, Commander and whatnot, but not Modern and all that, that's fine. But it still is directed at so many different aspects of, like, the MTG player. And, you know, we went back and forth about, like, Conspiracy and is it better than Conspiracy? It's just way better than any set. Like, again, it's catered to a lot of different Magic players. It's from the ground up supposed to be multiplayer, so it's more fun. There's no gimmick here. Like, and that's the big one for me. There's no gimmick here. Every card is going to retain some sort of value after you're done, you know, drafting and immersing yourself in Battle Bond. I think one of the, you know, while Conspiracy, both Conspiracy sets were successful, there was a percentage of cards that are basically useless, like, after you're done immersing yourself in drafting and, you know, partaking in Conspiracy. Battle Bond doesn't suffer from that. You know, you always retain value where some of this stuff is not just completely useless and just rotting in your collection because you can't draft, right? So there's no subset of cards that is useless. I think overall, Battle Bond is a 100% knock out of the park. The reprints, I mean, they packed, like, probably more $25 plus cards than a master set. And you have specific cards, like, yeah, some of these are stinkers. Like, you know, you have one of these green mythics that's bad. That's, like, kind of a feel bad for me. But then you look and you have, like, Najeela, the Blade Blossom. I mean, that's going to spark so much interest, not only in the market, but just Magic. Again, you have, like, these build around commanders. You have these build around partner planeswalkers. Like, all of that is extremely awesome and exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely took me by surprise, for sure. I, like most people, I thought Battle Bond was going to kind of come similar Conspiracy. And while I don't I don't have the same, I don't necessarily think it's, like, one of the best sets ever. It's definitely one of the better supplementals that they've made in recent memory. I think it's an improved Conspiracy, though. I thought the Conspiracy and Conspiracy 2 were quite good, even though you had those throwaways. I thought they were still fairly innovative. And they did have some good reprints as well. Now, you could say, yeah, the reprints in these are arguably better, or there's more quality reprints. That I would agree with that. I don't know if it's what, like, people think that this is the Masters set that we should have gotten. I don't really agree with that. I think the last two Master sets just weren't good Master sets. And I think this is just a really good multiplayer supplemental. I don't think this is necessarily better than some of the Commander sets that we've gotten in the past either. I think it's up there with some of them, but I mean, listen, ultimately I agree. I think it's a fantastic set. It's very, very well designed. And like you said, a lot of these cards are going to end up being future build arounds. The reprints are great. Like, I think that the thought that went into the reprints with this set obviously was there were more thought out than you might get a Masters set. Like, I like the, especially Masters 25 seemed like it was sloppily put together. This seems like this team really put some thought into this. So yeah, I mean, I am not as much on the fence of thinking it's this blowout amazing set. I think it's very, very good. But regardless, it looks super fun. Now, I went on record in Discord saying that I think it's going to kind of come and go, in the sense that, like, I don't think this is going to be the type of set that defines anything through the next year and a half. I think it's going to be here. It's going to be super fun. There's going to be a lot of cards that end up being worth something, but it's going to kind of go, and it's going to kind of fall in the shadow of Core 2019 and et cetera, et cetera. So with that in mind, apparently the print run on this has initially been quite limited. From what I've heard, we had someone in Europe mention that they're kind of sold out, but it is apparently print to demand, at least Europe. I don't have any confirmation of that in stateside, but I would suspect that if it's printed demand in Europe, it's most assuredly printed demand in the US. So I would say that there's still going to be plenty of this to go around. So that said, the stuff in here is good. So could end up holding, you know, $90 for a while. You know, I don't necessarily buy and hold on to, especially if it's, you know, printed demand. So I guess that's sort of my general feeling of it. I do think that something like doubling seal, like, actually, I like conspiracy. I'm actually mostly interested in the foils, like foil Tridave Nemesis. That's going to be just, you know, that's going to knock it out of the park coming out. You know, that's first time foil, and some of these other foils that are going to be very interesting. And I absolutely think that, like conspiracy, there's going to be a lot of chase foils in this. And I do think that some of these reprints, I'm not worried, especially the mythics. I'm not too worried that the mythic, because again, I don't think that this is going to be turned into oblivion. So I wouldn't suspect that doubling season is just going to crash. Yeah, doubling season is going to go down a little bit, but I would honestly expect doubling season to simply recover. I mean, battle, you know, it's got a battle bond and a modern masters, you know, printing. Those are not, again, I personally don't think the battle bond is going to be everywhere. I think it's going to be similar to a modern masters, and there's just not as many copies. And so I wouldn't expect something like doubling season to tank. I remember there was somebody that, I think it was G Tudor. I can't recall exactly, but somebody was saying that they had kind of fire sold their doubling season. I don't think you need to fire sell really anything, especially the mythics, the mythic reprints. I don't think if it was True Name Nemesis, I wouldn't worry about that recovering at all. I think that's going to be perfectly fine. So yeah, that's my general feeling. I am very excited about it. It looks really fun. I do think it will kind of come and go. I know you may have a different opinion on that, Chaz, but I think it's gonna do its thing. It's gonna be really exciting, and then it's gonna kind of go by the wayside. And I also think the boxes probably will be printed demand, so I wouldn't be necessarily looking to. I don't think this is gonna be hyper limited. Like, I originally thought it was gonna be very limited, because I remember I was getting boxes, and there are Card Kingdom had boxes for $89.99 pre-order. They upped it to $99, which made me think, huh, there's obviously like some serious demand, and maybe there's a limited run on this. But from what I'm hearing, it's gonna be printed demand. So that's pretty much my opinion.
Yeah, I'm okay with fire selling doubling seasons, only because when you're netting like maybe 10, 12, 15 bucks on every single doubling season, that starts to add up, especially if you had a lot of them. If you had like a play set, or if you had just a couple lying around, then I'm never one for fire selling, especially a reprint. And especially when something, it's like a doubling season where it's almost like the Tarmogoyf effect, it needs like a few reprint, really like, few good reprints in a quality set like this to start really dropping. Because while Tarmogoyf was at one point like an S, I mean, just using like a, if we had to like break this down as like a fighting game tier list or something like that, like Tarmogoyf was up there as like an S tier, you know, kind of tournament staple. Doubling season's like an S plus, like super plus commander tiered card. It's like, and it's in its own tier. Like that's how like popular and lucrative doubling season is. It's like literally one of the best, if not the best, commander card. Like literally. So
that's sort of like it's the kind of card that when people say commander EDH, that's literally
you think
like
of
the most it's the iconic.
Yeah, it's a defining card. So as soon as it as soon as there's a price increase, it's not going to stay down for like barely at all. And once it gets to a certain price point, folks, you know, start picking those up, you know, vendors, you know, folks invest in the financial, you know, when, you know, folks subscribed here, start picking those up, and it's right back to selling these for a profit. So, and selling these for what they were originally. And
And honestly, I like this new art. I think this is.
I like kinda, it too.
I actually think this is. I mean, for me, I kind of like this art. The Ravnica one is cool, but like I dig this new art.
I mean, that's blasphemous, so. But yeah, that's fine. But I mean, I'm always gonna have like special Ravnica original Rav art in my heart. But this one's fine too. But you know, and that being said, going further to what you said, the doubling season's one thing. I don't think this is a come and go set. Absolutely not. White conspiracy. I mean, we're still talking about some conspiracy stuff, you know, today. I mean, we've seen certain mythics, even like, I mean, we had the blatant, like, here's, you know, not even certainly blatant, but, you know, didn't take long for a card like Leovold to go from $9, $10, $12, $15 pre-sales to like $40, $50, $60 because it was played in Legacy. You know, and even when cards were not played, but even when they weren't played in Legacy, you still have cards like Silvala, the mono green Silvala, you know, kind of hovered around $5-6. Now it's like $20, you know, 18, 15, you know, 15 to $20. You know, we're still going to be talking about Battle Bond cards like years from now. It's not a come and go set at all.
Well, those are, but you're also citing original printings. I mean, what original printings here do you think?
I mean, there's a lot of original printings. You have Arena Rector, probably going to be, you know, definitely up there as a commander type card. I'm already eating crow on that card. Not because I thought it was bad, but because it was better than I ever anticipated. You have cards like Najeela, well, that might not, you know, spike just on its own, but it's a pretty good commander on its own. It doesn't even need to be built around like warriors at all, but it's just a good on its own. I mean, it's untap all attacking creatures. It's not just any like just warriors. You have the partner commanders. You have cards like Bramble Sovereign, which are kind of, you know, there's some hype around them, but it's not Arena Rector level. But a card like Bramble Sovereign can go from like $8 and creep up. You know, there's a lot of gems here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the foils. In particular, I don't know. It's tough to say. It's tough to say because here's the thing. When I say it's going to come, I mean that in a kind of a good way, in that I don't think it's going to be open to death, which means that I think there's going to be a lot of future opportunity for some of this stuff, right? Like I don't foresee people, especially going into like core 2019, this being like heavily open over something like core. Like I just think it's going to come. When I say it's going to come. Going to come, it's going to have its time, and then
that's everything, though. But that it's not a come and go in the sense that folks aren't going to forget about it. Like, it's
sure
conspiracy was still, still garnered some interest. And this is basically they took conspiracy and approved it. And that's what I like it, you know. I think, BioSpark in the chat, I wouldn't say I was pessimistic and didn't give, you know, Battle Bond a chance, like, I didn't think it was going to be good. But I thought it was going to be similar in conspiracy where there was stuff to get excited about and then there was going to be this gimmick that wouldn't translate well to the future. But that wasn't even the case. I mean, it went from not necessarily high expectations, but to like shattering expectations to being, I mean, I get excited for new sets and, you know, folks, you know, are with me through a lot of spoilers since, you know, this Discord is, you know, this, and we kind of been around, you know, kind of daily, but this kind of product is really what is exciting. And when they improve on something like conspiracy, I mean, that's already up there for me for one of the better Magic sets I've seen, just because it's improved on something that was already good. It doesn't need to be restricted around, you know, something like Dominaria, which was also good. It also was tailor made to a lot of different Magic players, but it still had to be constrained around being a standard set. So it couldn't throw in cards like Doubling Season and Mystic Confluence and, you know, all these $20-$25 cards. I mean,
Chain Light, yeah.
You know, yeah, Chain Lightning, Veteran Explorer, you know, Swords to Plowshares. I mean, it's just the list goes on, and this was made without any constraints. It was tailor made to a lot of different Magic players, and it doesn't have like this gimmick that I thought was like, all right, it was going to have like this kind of double two-headed giant like gimmick that, you know, unless you're playing two-headed giant, it's not going to be good. But if you are, it's still good, and people still play two-headed giant, so it's not like as restrictive as conspiracy, but it's still kind of a gimmick. So it didn't even have that. I don't think it's like a set and forget. Like, we're going to be talking about Battle Bond for a long time.
So what's your strategy? What's your pickup strategy here?
My strategy is, I mean, I like to wait and see. I already got kind of burned on Arena Rector, so I'm already kind of like in the hole here. But I did well with Breitling at the very least because these cards are like kind of hype-ish even in the beginning, even though they don't normally go anywhere. But a three mana wing.
Like Spellseeker, I think.
A three mana wing card is still like interesting. Like a lot of these cards have been five mana, so this is like the first time it's been a three mana card. And it's always, you know, kind of garnered some interest, even though they never kind of pan out. But I think it's more wait and see because, I mean, even unlike Conspiracy, like even you don't have like a card kind of like Leovold that's like in your face, it's going to be good. Because not even Leovold was, at the beginning, very obvious. But I think there's going to be a lot of gems in here. So I'm just
Do you see a legacy?
Letting it pan out.
A new legacy stable?
I don't think so. But there's going to be a lot of cards from now and X amount of time from now that are going to be steadily increasing because they're good in Commander.
Right. So that's kind of my position here. As I think, You obviously, as usual, you kind of avoid the hype. Don't be buying now. I do think, as I said earlier.
Unless you nailed $10 copies of Academy Rector, then you're killing it right now.
Right.
Silly me. I thought 15, 20 bucks would be the max, but I was super wrong. But as a lot of these reprints, not necessarily tank, they will definitely decrease more than doubling season. Like I think Nurkana Revenant will half or better. I think like True Name Nemesis will half or better, as crazy as that sounds. But I think cards like, you know, Diabolic.
I don't think so.
Diabolic Intent, Mystic Confluence, a lot of these will drop by 50%. I don't think doubling season will, but
I think True Name will recover. I don't think it's
It will recover, but it will take longer. Not nearly as long as doubling season.
I guess my hypothesis is that I don't, due to the fact that, again, I'm not leaning on the side that this is, right. So I don't think this is going to be opened very much. Therefore, I think that a lot of these can be not in as abundant or abundant enough to make them tank so hard that some of them that don't have a ton of demand, right? Like land tax might, you know, dip and not recover too much. Although it's a myth again, like the mythics, I'm less.
I mean, land tax is always still a very good card in Commander too. So
yeah,
maybe
Nurkana Revenant.
Actually, my bad.
Yeah, Mystic Confluence. Okay, I'll give you Mystic Confluence because Mystic Confluence is rare.
Yeah, Nurkana Revenant, like that was from Rise. I mean, it's always been kind of a really cool card, but it's not $20. It's not going to remain $20.
Right.
Mycosynth Lattice, same thing.
I can give you that.
You know, True Name will dip. It'll probably recover, but it will take longer than something like doubling season. So I don't think anything outside doubling season is going to recover. And if it does recover, it will take a longer time, which will give, and this is where I'm like kind of where I'm going with this, is it will give other cards like the two partner planeswalkers. People are really excited about that. They'll go from like $10, $15 to maybe like $25 each or whichever one is more powerful. It'll give more room for a lot of these cards that, you know, people are taking note right now, but they won't realize how important they are, you know, a few months, 6 months from now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you that I think Battle Bond is 100% the set you need to be kind of like,
especially foils,
keep a TCG player tab or something open, and over the next 3 months past release, just I would be slowly acquiring this stuff as it goes down, because I do agree with you that we're going to look 6 months down the road and be like, whoa, Battle Bond prices, what? Right? Yeah. Like, I think there's a ton of this stuff, especially, I mean, the foils are pretty, I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? Like, some of the foils are going to come out the gate and just be expensive, and they're just not going to,
they're never going to look back.
No. But, right, exactly. But some of these non-foils, you know, over the next, when they hit their lows in around three to six months, then all of a sudden you're going to turn around and, you know, 6 months to a year, you're going to be like, whoa, what? Will Kenrith is how much? Holy crap.
Right.
Right. So yeah, I definitely agree that there is so much potential in this set in fact, I would definitely agree that out of anything that's been printed in recent memory, including Dominaria, I think this is the set that has the most potential for a lot of financial upside.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, between this and Dominaria. I mean, again, I think it's one of the best. I think Battlebound's one of the best sets. And, you know, I didn't have – this is coming from someone – I didn't have, like, low expectations, but I didn't think it would shatter expectations like this. Because, again, I was working off, like, all right, it's going to be, like, conspiracy and that whole gimmick thing, but it doesn't even have that. So when it's not working with any restrictions, I mean, you get a set like Battlebound, and it's, like, perfect. It's pretty much close to perfect, if not perfect, for a Magic set. And again, and as good as Dominaria was, it still had to be a standard set. So it Battle Bond is really like the sets. And again, I don't even like the comparison to Master sets. I could care less if we don't have a Master set again if we get sets like Battle Bond in its place. Master sets should want to be Battle Bond, not the other way around. That's, I mean, these literally, Battle Bond literally makes any Master set look like trash. Any Master set.
I'm going that deep.
No, I am. No, but again, like, okay, you still had good reprints, like, and you have a Master set that have a lot of reprints, but that's all you get is reprints. I would rather take the strong reprints of Battle Bond and still have an entire set around it that I can do stuff with.
Oop, Chazzy cut out there.
Oh yeah, I'm here. No, I'm saying, like,
okay.
Master sets are only reprints. Like, just think about Master sets. Yeah, there's a handful of good reprints that you get excited for, and that's it. Battle Bond pretty much has that and more.
Well, the draft format in Master sets,
yeah, but
up until recently, is quite good. That. I mean, the first Modern, of course they care about that. I would say that's part of why Master sets are exciting. Like, the
people
original
say they
Modern
care
Masters is really...
I'm not in on that. I'm not. I don't really care. Well, you drafted one time for $40, and then you never touched that crap again.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, no one cares about drafting Master sets. I love drafting regular sets because it's not $40. Like, you draft it one time for $40, you never care about it again, and all you care about is that you're not paying, like, not, you know, $120 on a Liliana of the Veil anymore. But wait, you're paying that pretty much already again. So, and the $4.99 pack, you know, price per pack is just on top of it. It's just gravy.
Yeah, I mean,
Efren's right. Efren is 100% right. If you draft a money card, you could literally care less how the draft goes, and that's exactly how every Master set is because they're $40.
Well, that's because you have a higher likelihood of cracking.
Are you really going in like, card? Nope, can't. Got to pass the Liliana or what? Or got to pass this other like staple rare because it's not as good in draft because I want to take like something else. Like, come on.
No, but that goes for standard as well. If you open a Karn, you're taking the – just moving on. Now, yeah, you can play the Karn, but you can also play a lot of the money Karn, Modern Masters.
Yeah.
In any case, I'm just saying, they design Master sets with draft in mind, hence why they make some of the choices they make, and that's also why they've attempted to justify some of the bad cards that we perceive as bad reprints. They'll say, well, we wanted it for the draft.
Yeah.
So, in any case,
you know what that ends up being?
Case,
you know what,
I,
you know,
Battlebond is awesome.
You know what that ends up being? Like 80% of the set target.
Well,
I mean,
recently,
just look back. Look at all that trash in those Master sets. But, oh, you know, we got to make a good draft format. So we literally have like cards that never seen the light of day in Modern because, you know, whatever. Here, like, yeah, you have some stinkers in here, but you go pretty deep into Battle Bond and you're still getting some decent stuff. And especially you have like $20 rare after $20 rare after $10 rare after $20 rare. Then you have a land cycle. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, I love the land cycle, by the way. I mean, these are going to always be.
You still have swords, Veteran Explorer. Like, I mean, the list goes on. What are you getting Masters? Like, yeah, you know, some trash that like no one ever plays. But you're spending $10 a pack on it. See, you're spending $4 here, so you don't really care as much that you get some junk like, you know, Skystreamer or Silver Chase Fox. Like, who cares?
Oh, I don't disagree with you that this is a better set than the past two Master sets. I will fully agree with
no,
that.
No, it's better. Master set should want to be Battle Bond, not the other way around. I'm serious.
All right, well, I don't think that the boxes are – I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think there's going to be enough – consistent long-term demand here that the box is probably going to stick around, you know, $90 or $85 to $90. So expect, I mean, if these boxes somehow get discounted to $75, even $80, I would be picking them up, but I don't foresee that happening. I think there's going to be enough demand for these long-term. that they hold around an $85, $9 price point. But anything below $85, I mean, heck, even if you can get them at $85, not bad. But if you get them below $85, I would be buying boxes of this. Outside of that, because it seems to be a printed demand set, I wouldn't be necessarily looking at the sealed product on this. But yeah, there's a ton of potential here. I fully agree with you that there's going to be a lot of long-term money to be made in this. It's going to be really interesting to see, like, what happens in the next 3 months, how these cards kind of, you know, where about if Babylon just, how what happens to some of these cards and what their price point is. I think we'll be talking about this. We're definitely going to revisit this. Like, I definitely want this to put this in the back of our minds, and over time we will kind of revisit Battle Bond, because I do think it's got some of the most interesting and most potential for upside.
It's hard to navigate right now because there's so much stuff to look through, because every little thing could be a gem in Commander. But yeah, we definitely have to keep this in mind. Making tabs as we go along, just to kind of keep with it. But I'll try to go back through and just throw up what is kind of standing out to me and what's worth like noting going forward. But yeah, definitely keep a pulse on this, because there's certain cards that, again, might not jump out. I mean, even on other conspiracies, Leovold was kind of flying under the radar. Then all of a sudden, it was a Legacy staple. I'm not seeing so much of that for Legacy, but there's a lot of gems for Commander that, you know, even cards, if they drop to like a dollar and they start trending back up because they're really good and, you know, they're really popular, and then the foils increase, like, there's a lot to kind of keep a tab on. But where's that meme? I think I saw that meme, like, you know, you see the guy looking the other way, but they had like Masters 25 and then like Battle Bond. That needs to be changed to like all Master sets and then just Battle Bond. Like, that's what you really want. That's where we need to be. That's the direction we need to be going in. The fallout of Battle Bond, I think most of a lot of the good market movement was well documented in this Discord, from everything from coin flipping mechanic to what was it? Like, the Druid's Repository was an infinite combo with Najira. So that was, all around amazing content here. Amazing content.
Yeah,
that meme too. That's definitely good. But that Twinkie is the wholesome Battle Bond goodness that we need to be ingesting. Need to be going after right now.
That is me just eating up profits from Battle Bond right there.
Oh, yeah. That's just me ingesting Battle Bond into my into my body. Like, no more of those carbs, Master sets. Like, give me the pure protein Battle Bond.
That's right.
That 100% protein. Man. Get that. Get those carbs and all that nonsense. Master sets. Nope. Get that out of here. All right. So that all being said, we have so Thursday we're going to cast, and it's going to be a Pro Tour like precursor cast. So I don't really want to get into it tonight. Let's just go over like very quickly a couple cards that we wanted to focus in on, Tark. So a lot of the craze was actually right here in this Discord. So we kind of don't really need to document that. I had a card that I thought would have been very good until they printed Najira, and then that kind of went out the window. But the card I wanted to focus on this week is Tamiyo, Field Researcher. I think literally this card at $5, or even if you can find them under, kudos to you, is going to be great. I think those are going to be awesome to just kind of grab, just kind of hold those. That is just kind of a card that I see continuously increasing, and I don't even like super long term. I don't even think it needs to be super long term, but it is one of the best commanders in Commander. And Tamiyo and a reprint of Doubling Season, folks are going to be wanting to get in on that. So I'm loving Tamiyo, Field Researcher, loving it.
Cool. For me today, have kind of a slightly obscure land. This is Crystal Quarry from Odyssey. It had popped up on interest, and I kind of was curious about the pricing, and it's kind of interesting. The only near mint copies are at $12, and then there's a handful LP copies that are around $5 or $6. So I do think that that's going to correct to about $12. The foil multiple is quite high. I think it's around $40. So I suspect that this is going to, you know, Crystal Quarry is probably a $12 card that is just kind of underpriced, and the supply is quite low on that one. So I like Crystal Quarry, both just the non-foil, not the foil copy, only the non-foil. And then, you know, Humans obviously did its thing again at the SCG Open for Modern, and Thalia's Lieutenant is still around $2, and you can get them under $3, around $2.50, $2.75. That's going to be a future $6 card for sure. Long term, it's not going to go, probably won't go anywhere anytime soon, but I think now is a great time to be picking them up through the summer. I easily a $6 card. The foils are already about, I think foils around $7 or $8, which is about correct. It's about double, the multiplier is about 2x. But I think that one's going to over time, definitely long term, but that's proved itself as a Modern staple. It's a four of it's the most important part of that deck. So I see that as a future long term one.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, definitely to clarify, I think both normal copies and foil copies of Tamiyo Field Researcher are great. $15. I mean, what's good for this has dropped. It's at pretty much its low down from, you know, over the last 2 years, down from like 30 to 15. I think it can definitely go back to 30, if not higher. And the normal copies, again, started at 12. They're down to like 5, maybe a little under. But I love both copies. And for as much play as it sees in Commander, it sees a little bit of fringe play in Modern. Very powerful colors, Bant, in terms of, you know, what you can do with this in Commander. I mean, I just think it's an overall great card to be holding both copies of.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Thursday, we're going to talk about Pro Tour.
Yeah, Thursday's Pro Tour. I'll let everyone kind of know what's going on with that. I'll put the itinerary and just like the times in there. Same. Thank goodness it's a, you know, US-based Pro Tour. So should be pretty good on everyone. Hope everyone can tune in for that. But yeah, we're going to talk more in depth about that on Thursday. What's
Pro Tour is going to be in Richmond.
Richmond,
Virginia. So Eastern Standard Time.
I think it starts at 9 a.m. and then we have like a couple rounds of, you know, same format. But I think it starts at 9 a.m. So it should be good by like 4 o'clock. We should be done.
And I think Chaz, you can update everyone on this. But I think our coverage person might be there in time for Thursday to get some preliminary until Thursday evening.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have some news Thursday evening, which is great.
We're normally, I mean, we're ahead of the curve already, but we're going to be real ahead of the curve because our coverage person had to be there ahead of time because, you know, they're traveling with a person that's in the Pro Tour. So, but yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep.
We can get some really early indications of, vendor movement or pricing or what have you. So we'll try to get that for you as quickly as possible. But yeah, any last minute questions? We're going to wrap it up there, I think. Any last minute questions? Any implications of upcoming GP Vegas? I don't think so.
Is there a legacy event?
I think there's going to be a beta draft side event. That should be really awesome. But
That'll add approximately cards to the pool of beta cards available. So
yeah, it's going to be a little rough. It's going to be a little crazy. But see, the problem is with this GP Vegas. It's normally GP Vegases are like planned around something. I don't know if like this is going to have any implications.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, the GP Vegas doesn't have the same impact that it did with the Modern Masters. Now it's an event for sure, but I think it's kind of like a con. It's like a convention, not a con, but it's like a convention. So I don't know if there's necessarily going to be any price implications from it. There weren't any last year. There wasn't anything really that happened last year. I would be definitely more focused on that.
Yeah. Like HasCon, GP Vegas is pretty much like Magic Con.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. Tark and I, we're going to wrap things up here. Where can these folks find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @the_Tark, T-A-R-K. Also do some help out the guys over the Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there. And as always, I'm in Discord, QS.
Yep. Best place to find me is the QS Insider Discord. DM me, just at me or whatever if you need me at all. I'm very active basically every single day on the QS Insider Discord. So yeah, find me there. Find my work on Quiet Speculation. All right. That is going to wrap it up for tonight. All right. Thanks, folks, for joining us. Good night.
Later.